Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We appreciate your tuning in today, and we look forward to studying the Bible with you. And this morning, we're going to be looking at several passages, and we'd like for you to open your Bible right now to Luke chapter 22. We're going to start in Luke chapter 22, and then we're going to be turning to and reading several other passages. So please be ready and turn to these passages as we announce them, read them with us, and then we're going to talk about the topic for discussion today, which is the Lord's Supper, and we're going to talk about some of the wrong ideas that people have about this. So let's compare what the Bible says to what oftentimes men think about this topic. Luke chapter 22, and let's start in verse 19. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now then, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 26. I want to read and talk about Matthew's account of this instituting of the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26. The Bible says, And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now in verse 29, Jesus said, But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now we talked about what those passages meant and do mean yesterday, and we're going to turn now to Acts chapter 20, the book of Acts chapter 20. And here in Acts chapter 20, we're reading a passage about the church. The church has been established now. Jesus has already died on the cross. He has been resurrected, and he's ascended back to heaven. The church has been established, and it has spread and grown. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, here's what the Bible says. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So who's gathering together here? Well, it's the disciples. It's the Christians. When do they gather together? On the first day of the week. Not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. Sunday, of course, is the first day of the week. Now, why are they gathering together? Well, he tells you. They're gathering together to break bread. And I want you to notice that the Bible shows that this is a religious setting because it says that Paul preached unto them. So you've got the disciples coming together on the first day of the week. They're assembling. This is a worship assembly. Paul is preaching to them. They've come together to break bread. Not a common meal here, but this is the Lord's Supper. Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples, and that came to be an expression for the Lord's Supper. So when did they partake of the Lord's Supper? They partook of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Well, how often did they partake of the Lord's Supper? They partook of the Lord's Supper as often as there was a first day of the week. In other words, on Sundays. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is not a passage about the Lord's Supper, but it is about the Lord's Day, and I want to make sure that we include this passage in here before we go on to another passage in the book of 1 Corinthians that does directly talk about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, the collection, the contribution, what many people call the contribution or the collection baskets being passed, is that scriptural? Is that something that the Bible talks about? It certainly does. The Bible says, concerning this collection for the saints, Paul said, As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. I want you to do the same thing that I told the churches in Galatia to do. Well, what did you tell them to do, Paul, and what do you want us to do? Verse 2, upon the first day of the week. Notice, again, the first day of the week. There are people that think that worshiping on Sunday is a human tradition, that it was something that the Pope instituted and came up with many centuries ago. We find folks that worshiping upon the first day of the week, that obligation to assemble and worship on the first day of the week comes from the Bible, not from human tradition. Upon the first day of the week, just like Acts 20 said that the disciples were gathering together on that day, he says, I've told the churches of Galatia to do this. I'm telling you to do this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. That means to treasure up, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Well, that took place at the worship assembly. That was the logical place to do that. Paul said, the reason I'm telling you to have this collection, you see, how could it be a collection if people just gave it on their individual basis in their homes or in their private lives? This was a collection, a contribution here that was taken up on the first day of the week. So these Christians would have the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and they would have this contribution on the first day of the week. They had this preaching on the first day of the week. And, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, they would also have prayers and singing on the first day of the week. And there are other passages that deal with those items as well. But I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18. There were problems at the church at Corinth, and Paul is about to talk about some of those problems. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, Paul said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Somebody says, well, doesn't that go against what you just read? No, because Paul is talking to this specific congregation. This congregation had a problem, and their problem was that they should have been coming together to take the Lord's Supper. They ought to have been assembling to partake of the Lord's Supper, but they were not. Instead, they had turned it into a regular common meal. And so Paul says, when you come together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, it's to eat your own supper. Because he says in verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. It was food besides what the Lord's Supper is really consisting of. And that is, the Lord's Supper is to be that unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Now, these Christians at the church at Corinth were bringing all kinds of food, at least the ones that could afford it were. And Paul said that they were bringing their own supper. So notice the difference here in verse 20 and 21. In verse 20, he talks about the Lord's Supper. He says, by implication here, you should be coming together to have the Lord's Supper, but instead, you're having your own supper. Verse 21, his own supper. And he said, the result is one is hungry, another is drunken. Some of them were rich or at least well off enough to have all kinds of food. And there were others that were so poor that they didn't have enough to eat. And Paul is saying, you've turned the worship service into that kind of setting and you ought to be ashamed. So he goes on and talks in verse 23 about the Lord's Supper. And here's what he says. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily, or in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So Paul, in this section, talks about the Lord's Supper and says that we are to eat the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus' death. And he shows that the Lord's Supper is something that you assemble together to take. It's something that we're to do in the worship assembly, you see. And we're to do that on the first day of the week. Now, I mentioned that there are all kinds of faulty ideas about the Lord's Supper. Let me mention at least two of them. Number one, there's the idea that the Lord's Supper is to be some kind of common meal. Now, this is becoming more and more common. It's becoming more and more popular. There are many churches who are saying that the Lord's Supper is something that's not this meal like we read about in the Bible where Jesus took the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine and he just distributed those items. They say that the common meal is actually what we ought to be doing and call it the Lord's Supper. In other words, if we want to have steak and potatoes and cornbread and all kinds of other foods, desserts of all kinds, that we can get together and have that in the worship and have that kind of meal and call it the Lord's Supper. Folks, that's not the Lord's Supper. Jesus specifically told us what to use. He specifically left us this example. And there's no Bible authority for putting all kinds of food on the Lord's table and calling that the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the perfect example of how these Corinthians were doing that very thing, and Paul told them not to do that. You see, that's what the Corinthians were doing. They were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. And he said, instead of having the Lord's Supper, you're having your own supper. So no, the Lord's Supper is not to be made into a common meal like a lot are doing today, and that seems to be more and more a trend. Number two, the Lord's Supper is not what Catholics call Mass. Now, a sacrament in Catholic theology is a ritual in which and by which, supposedly, they claim that God's grace is administered to the people who receive those sacraments, when they're administered, of course, by the Catholic Church. So in other words, Mass, the Lord's Supper, is actually a vehicle to give people divine grace and forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness of sins is actually granted or given to people who partake of the Lord's Supper when they receive it from that priest. Well, folks, the Bible never says that the Lord's Supper was designed to give anybody remission of sins. Yes, it represents the death of Christ when he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, but that doesn't mean that by simply partaking of the Lord's Supper that you receive remission of sins. So the whole idea of the Lord's Supper being a sacrament is not in the Bible. You don't read about that in the Scriptures. Paul never taught it, and neither did Jesus Christ or anyone else that we read about in the Bible. So these are ideas that men have come up with that are not in the Bible, and I urge all of us, when you hear an idea about a Bible topic, make sure that you check out what the Bible says first and that you stay with what the Scriptures teach. Well, thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.